Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning, this evening, to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. I really enjoy Psalms 116 just because of the way it starts off. And it's not the main part of the message, but it's definitely a jumping off point. Psalms 116. I want you to think about something. Consider this. What would you consider your most precious thing in this world? Think about it. Well, you can use a possession. You can use a relationship. You can use the Bible. But of all the things you have in this world, what do you treat like is your most precious thing? And what actually is your most precious thing? Sometimes those are two different things. Sometimes we put in our hearts and lives and put our energy and our resources all into something that will not last. But then we also knew deep down inside, boy, this is really precious. The opportunity we had here recently, and still we've dealt with some people who was connected with their church, and some that were even, one that was a member of our church, Brother Curtis, passed away. Mr. John's sister had passed away, and Mr. Casperi passed away. So I had the privilege of doing Mr. Curtis's service this past week. Got the chance to go to Mr. John's sister's service. I don't always get to do that, but I was going to go see Brother Frank while he was in the hospital anyway. So I, on purpose, wanted to make sure I had the chance. And when the guy was there and he was preaching, and he did a fairly good job. It was a nice service. It was well attended for, you know, being outside and a little bit cool. Probably one of the bigger outside services I ever seen. And the guy used the word precious. And he talked about here in Psalms 116 and verse number 15, where the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. And that word gets kind of stuck with me this week. Precious. What's really precious to me? If I went down and looked at what was my most valuable possession or my most precious possession, and you think about physical things, you know, those things that might be worth the most aren't the things that are most precious to me. Probably of all the possessions I have, you know, my car probably has the most value to it, but it's not the thing that's most precious to me, because someday probably I'll trade the car in. But there are certain things in this world that are so precious to me, I wouldn't want to give them up. It's based off of who's given them to me. There's some things that my wife has given me that I wouldn't want to give up. There's letters that she wrote me back in college I still have. And haven't looked at those for a while, but there's a few letters that are somewhere special that sometimes I go back and read them. When she gets grumpy with me, then I'll read and says, look, she does love me. It says it right there. You think about that, the ring that's on your finger, especially for ladies, it's, you know, probably does have some value to it. You know, if it has gold and precious stones in it, then it's going to have some value. But more than likely, you wouldn't trade that in for what it was worth monetarily, because it's more precious to you than that. It's because who gave it to you. There are certain things. I've seen men love a car before, and they put time, effort in a vehicle. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as it doesn't become an idol, as long as it doesn't take, it's in its proper place, or a gun, or, you know, other things. And ladies has things that they value highly. And so my question to you tonight is, what is actually precious to you? What is the thing that's most precious in your life? And when when the preacher was preaching on Thursday, and he just brought that word precious out, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart. And I mentioned this yesterday to our men, and I'd like to kind of expound on that, or at least bring some of the thoughts up from yesterday and kind of expound on some of those. What really truly is precious to us? What is it that you truly value most in this world? Because I see some value their self and their own desires more than do others. They value possessions and the things of this world more than the things of God. And there are certain things in the Word of God that God says is precious to him. There are certain things that God tells us that we should count as precious. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, it says in Psalms 116, I love the way it starts, I love the Lord. That's where it all starts there. David says, I don't know, the psalmist says, it doesn't say it's by David, I love the Lord because. And if you started writing those things down, the list would be super long. And Psalms 116 is not a short psalm. It's not a long psalm. Probably it's kind of a medium psalm. And when you look at it, I love the Lord because. And he begins talking about all the different reasons why he loves the Lord. Then it comes down to verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. So God is saying that this is precious to me. This word precious talks about of a great price. Other spots in the Bible, when it talks about precious, it talks about being costly, of great value, very valuable. And so, I don't know, in your life, what would be the most precious thing to you? Now, once again, the most valuable thing may be your home that you live in. The most valuable thing may be some type of coin that is so rare and so valuable. It may be a vehicle. But what's most precious to you? What has your heart? What is something that you look at and say, that is something that has great value? That is something that is truly precious to me. That is not something I would want to give up. And with the picture of the word, the Bible is saying, God says that our death, the death of a believer, is precious to him. The Bible doesn't say he finds something precious about the death of the lost person. It's connected in what the death of the believer represents. In the death of each of us that is believers, he finds something worth valuing, their death. It's a great value to him. Why? Because of who it's connected to. It's connected to his son. Once again, what makes this ring valuable to me is the fact that if I lost it, my wife would kill me. But it's something my wife gave to me on my wedding day. And something that's precious to me because of that. Now, can I get another ring and replace it? You could if you lost it, but it's precious. I don't want to do that. If someone came up and said, hey, here's one that's worth more, it's bigger, and it's more valuable. Do you want this one instead? I say, sure, I'll take it, but I'm still going to keep this one. And this is the one I'm going to wear because it's precious to me. And I know you ladies especially understand that with jewelry. Sometimes you have silly things or things that you might keep at your house that your children made. I remember our children, when they were homeschooled, they had different times. They went over different places and they made some crafts. And they made some really goofy looking animals, kind of scary looking, because it was the first time they ever done it. And it was there, and I think it was supposed to be a bunny rabbit. It didn't even look like a bunny rabbit, I didn't think. And my wife kept it proudly out in a premier spot at her house. And I said, honey, those things are scary. Some people are going to come over there and look at, wonder what we have there. But what made it precious is because my sons made it. And so there's things that are precious. And there are certain things that we should really keep as precious. There are certain things that we should value. Tonight, I like to look at that a little bit, because when it comes to death, when you see families, you see people who pass away, these things that are important to us, things that are precious to us, things that are that we should want to hold close, is a good way to look and consider, really, what is precious in our life? What really means most to us? Ask some tough questions. What do I spend my most time on? What has the most of my attention? What has my greatest heart? And sometimes they don't line up to the things that God says, this is what really is really precious. So when one of the things that the psalmist is saying here is that because of God's blessings is to demonstrate a good perspective of death. And when you can read this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I tell you, going to a person's funeral or having the opportunity to preach someone's funeral who's saved and they know they're saved. Mr. John said the other day, I says, hey, I'm sorry for what you're going through. He says, this is great. He says, I know where my sister's at. I says, she's not struggling anymore. She's not dealing with the dementia anymore. She says, this is a celebration of life. A person who is unsaved can't celebrate like that. The person who's unsaved is an unbeliever, is someone who fears death. They don't really like talking about it. They don't like funeral services. And when they bring up these perspectives, something happens to you after you die. A believer is someone who has a different perspective of death. A believer is someone that needs to show this perspective as a witness. And that's what he's saying here, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalms 49:8 puts it this way, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever. The redemption of the soul is precious. The reason why it's connected is because it's connected with Christ. First Psalms 119 puts it this way, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, it kind of, there's a connection on who gives that gift. It's the precious blood of Christ, because that blood is what redeems us. That's what washes away our sins. It's to God, he says, precious in the sight as the believers in his sight. It's their death because of the fact it's connected to the fact that that's what Christ paid for. It's something that's valuable. It's something that they loved. And as I mentioned to you, it's about who gives it to you, which makes it precious. Now, sometimes we if randomly someone just gives us something, we don't even know the person, it's not as special. But here you see that there's a precious thought there. So I'm wondering tonight, what is precious to you? What do you really put value to? What is it something that is has a value that you hold high? So what is precious? I think about Mary of Bethany we heard a few weeks ago. Remember that story about her anointing Jesus' body. What did it say? He says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And I believe that was Mary of Bethany. We described that from Mark's story. She valued Christ. She was willing to pour out her most precious, most valuable possession she had. Because there's a difference, right? Because this might be the most valuable thing she had in that society, and that being a lady, the worth of that, and that was very, very valuable in the world's eyes. But Jesus was precious. It had value, it had worth, but Jesus was precious to her, to the fact that she's willing to give it all. Because yes, it might have some type of monetary value, but there's something that she loves. There's something that is precious to her. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to look a little bit and consider some things that God says is precious. Proverbs chapter 3. When you consider a loved one passing away, there's things that some people think are precious that others don't. One thing, I come with the opportunity of being around older people sometimes. I know I'm getting to be that older person. You go to their house, and sometimes they have some things that are really precious to them. They'll have displays up of a certain collection or a knickknack, and they'll have different things that they're proud of and they love showing people. And then I've heard in the last 10 years, I've heard many times, my children don't want any of this. They tell me to get rid of it. My grandchildren, they don't want any of this stuff. Here recently, I don't know which one of the families I was talking to, but the same comment came through. They don't want any of this stuff. I was talking to the funeral director connected to one of the services, and they were talking about a collection he had, and it sounded like a really nice collection. He says, they have no interest in this stuff. There are certain things that people value over others. And I remember Mr. Layton. I went to Mr. Layton's house, and as his family had, you know, passed away, and his wife and his son passed away, and he was saying, hey, do you want any of this stuff? My children said they don't want any of this. The grandchildren said, just get rid of it. You know, go sell it. And Mr. Layton, not specifically, but other people, I could tell their hearts are hurting because of the fact that they had saved this. This is something that was precious to them, but wasn't precious to them. It was precious to them personally, but somebody else didn't get it. So that's what I want to encourage you today. What is truly precious to you in your life? God has some things here that he says should be precious to us, but sometimes I think we miss it. Sometimes we put all our energy and our resources, everything we have, and things that really should not be precious to us. And we leave out some of the most important things. Proverbs chapter 3, look what it says in verses 15. Actually, we'll start in verse 13. It describes what they're talking about. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15 specifically, she is more precious than rubies. God puts an emphasis here and says there's something that's of great value. There's something that's a ruby, a rare jewel, something that would be very, very valuable. And he says, wisdom's more precious than that. It's worth more than that. And continue on, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. It's saying, look, all those things that you can put in your heart to desire, it's more important to have wisdom. It's more important to have understanding. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways of pleasantness, and her paths are all are peace. And you sit there and you keep on reading, wisdom, wisdom, so important, wisdom, 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 wisdom. This should be precious to us. But how precious is it to us? How much do we really put an emphasis on this? We count certain hobbies precious. We count certain activities precious. We count certain other things as precious. But God says there's something. He even goes as far as saying, he says, all the things that thou canst desire are not compared unto her. All the things that you would count as precious or say, I wish I could have that, and I wish I could have that, and I wish I could have, God says, the wisdom is not even comparison to it. Wisdom is so much more valuable. But why is it at times we see that wisdom is something that's forsaken? Proverbs 20:15 puts it this way, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Do we really want the wisdom from God? How does wisdom begin? It talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning. This is the beginning of knowledge. In other spots, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having a proper perspective of God is something that's precious because of how he teaches us, how he leads us, how he guides us. One of the things that is more valuable than anything is the fact that God is willing to give us and lead us and direct us in a path that can take us the right way. There is nothing greater than God being willing to show us. Yes, I can desire physical things. I can desire resources that are unlike anything else, but God says me leading and guiding and directing you is more valuable than any of those things. Count me as precious. Count my word as precious. Count my leadership as precious. Some other things he mentions, he says a good name is better than precious ointment. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises of God, they're precious. Psalms 139 talks about how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How God thinks about us is precious. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Over and over, he's referring to things. This is what's precious. This is something that you should value. This is something that you should hold on to. These are things that you should say, this is what's important to me. I think about the soul of men. I mean, I know the word precious isn't used there, but when it says, what shall profit a man? What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He could gain everything in this world, but lose his own soul. What have they profited? It's the idea that the soul is precious. It's precious enough that Christ was willing to come and die for it. It was precious enough that he says in Psalms, it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Why is it precious? Because it's a seed that saves the soul of man. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people just don't value it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, you go there and one of the great verses there, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It wasn't referring to the fact that it was held in high value. It meant that it was really, really rare. And it said, and there was no open vision, that the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the religious leaders of that day did not care about wisdom, did not preserve God's word and the idea that they made it precious and they taught it to one another. They said there was no open vision. God was not speaking to people, that the word of God was precious and not in the idea that it's so valuable and held, but it was rare. No one was listening. No one was teaching it. No way. Is it really precious to us? Is it something that we value? This is one of the greatest gifts we have. But how many times do we really take it and look at it as something that has great value, that I should search for it, that I should seek after it? I mean, in Proverbs chapter 2, you're right there. It talks about searching for the scriptures in verse number 4, chapter 2, verse 4. If thou seekest her silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. This is precious. I know some people, you would hear maybe a preacher or some other people who've taken their Bible and they've had the same Bible for years and they've marked it all up. And I don't know about you, but there's different Bibles I have that's falling apart. And some people say, oh, you guys need to get a new Bible. But sometimes those Bibles are precious. God spoke to your heart through those. You wouldn't want to give it up for anything. Here, I'll give you this brand new Bible, you know, it's much nicer, it's more. No, I don't want to give that up. Now, yes, I replace my Bible different times. I keep the other ones, but I replace them. It's why is that? It's because it's precious. God spoke to me through his word in it. What is precious to you? What is it that you really put an emphasis on and that you love? When I see and I deal with families at this time when people lost loved ones, you see sometimes how people treat one another. And sometimes it's really precious. And sometimes you can tell that they just don't value their loved one. I've been there when there's families and they're surrounded by people who love them. And they count them as a person that they love, they respect, and they count as precious. They don't want to see him suffer. They want to be there every single minute. I've also been in the spots when there's nobody there. Or there's maybe one or two, and the one or two don't really care for that person because of the way the person acted. They just wasn't precious. When you come to this spot in this moment in time, people's true motives show up many times. And yes, people sometimes like to be there, but the people who are really precious to that individual, the people that are there for them, the week after the person's gone, or the 2 weeks after that, or the 3 weeks, that you value that relationship so much that you're not going to let them suffer alone. What is precious to you? You look around this room. Do you see things that are precious to you? I mean, what about our relationships? I mean, the Bible puts such an emphasis. What does he tell the husband? It tells the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church. Christ cherished the church. It was precious to him. He died for the church. He bought it with his own blood. We as husbands really cherish that relationship. I mean, wives, what does it tell? In the book of Ephesians, it tells wives to, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. It's something that you honor. That's a price to pay. That cost, that's precious. You honor your husband. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. These are all things that are precious. And then in Ephesians 6:4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition to the Lord. Are our children precious to us? Then it continues on, relations, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, it's there. They're precious. Our relationship should be precious. We all have people that treat us like trash. We do. We have people that treat us like dirt sometimes. And we heard how this group this morning in church, they were there and they were just treating Moses and Aaron with disrespect, just being rude. And how Moses and Aaron dealt with it and how they responded in the wrong way. But we know those people that we're precious to. We know those people that pray for us. We know there's people that provoke. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, some people says this is a preacher's favorite verse, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And here's that verse, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you would go through and study the one another's in the Bible, if you would go through and study how God says this is how you're supposed to treat each other in the church, you know what would happen? It would change our lives. It would say, you're supposed to value and keep your church family as something that's precious. And many times that's just not the case. So what is precious to you? We should keep and hold on to what's precious. I know sometimes parents or grandparents, well, this is something you're going to want to keep. It doesn't mean as much to you. Now, there's sometimes you look at something, it's so precious. I'm hoping that I get that someday. There's a story that it's talked about at garage sales. Usually you don't end up getting on the news for it, but their story is told back that a family bought a Chinese bowl in 2007 for $3, but it became famous in 2013. The new owners of the bowl had spent $3, put the bowl on its mantle, but then someone came over to their house and saw it and told them how valuable it was. It was a Northern Song dynasty, which meant it was over 1,000 years old. They did not understand. They just thought it was a decoration. But come to find out, they showed it to an auction house and they valued it at $200,000. $200,000. Says it went up for auction and someone in London purchased it for $2 million. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Isn't that great? They didn't realize what they had and how precious it really was. They didn't. Sometimes I think we lose what God's trying to do in our hearts and lives because he gives us what's precious. We don't even understand it. We miss it. He's given us this opportunity, this chance. Here's all this that you have available to you, but you don't treat it as it deserves. So what's really precious to you? And the response that one preacher had wrote about that, why would the first owner sell something so valuable for just $3? The answer is they didn't appreciate what it was worth. We may shake our heads at that, but the truth is that every day men and women give up things far more valuable than money could buy for something that is ultimately worthless. We give up our time to learn the word of God, to witness, to fellowship, to spend together, building and appreciating one another. We throw it away for things that, in the end, aren't going to amount to anything. It's all going to burn someday because the heavens and earth is going to burn up. It's only the treasures we lay up in heaven. When a woman sacrifices her integrity to steal from her employer to be able to buy something she wants, or a man sacrifices his purity to commit immorality to satisfy his lust, something of great worth is being given up for something very cheap. This is a very clear indication of misplaced values. When parents ignore the children's need to further a career or even a ministry, they're giving up something that cannot be regained for the sake of something that will not last. So tonight, I know it might be a little bit of a different message, is I want you to think about what's the most valuable thing in your life, most valuable thing you own. But then also consider what is most precious to you. And I know our relationship with God should be up there. The Word of God should be there. Our communication with God, the Spirit of God. But set aside the spiritual things, at least from the God aspect, and say, what is it that I value most? What is it that I'm willing to sacrifice for? And God's given us all relationships, husbands and wives, children, parents, grandparents. Do we count that as precious? Or do we take what we have and just throw it away? I believe every single day God wants to give us a chance to grow closer to him. Sometimes we just throw it away. I think when we come to church on Sundays or Wednesdays, how our hearts should be. We've prayed, we have studied, we are right with God, and we want to hear from the Lord. It doesn't matter who the preacher is. It doesn't matter what song we're singing. We're praising the Lord. It doesn't matter how much I can give. I know it's what God wants me to give. I know God can take and use it whatever way he wants. I'm ready. I'm locked in. I'm zoned in. I want to hear from the Lord. And I've prayed for the preacher. I've prayed for the message. I prayed to make sure my heart was clean. And we come with anticipation. You're going to get something from God that day. You're going to get something from God that way. But you know what we do? We throw that away because of the fact that we just, hey, I don't like this or I don't like that. Or it's just too much work. And we get opportunity. I mean, we have a Bible sitting in front of us. Many of us have multiple Bibles. I probably have at least 10 Bibles. As I said, some of them are older ones that have been kind of retired in a sense. And we have Bibles sitting right there and we throw it away for something on the tablet or something on our phone. We have the opportunity to pray, but we throw it away to have worthless conversations about vain things. I mean, we have so much that God says, this is what truly is precious. This is what has value. This is what is worth a great price. These are the things. So when I heard that man on Thursday use the word precious, God just kind of said to me, hey, what's precious to you? What really means a lot to you? And I'll close with this. Sometimes we think about our relationships, and sometimes there are certain people we really want to talk to, certain times people we really don't want to talk to. There's some people that we count as precious. There's some people that we get disappointed when we miss their call. I know that especially when, as our children, when they're at college, Andrew's at college, obviously, and when he calls, I see that he called or texts. Lots of times I want to pick up that phone call. Why is that? Because he's precious to me. I mean, when there's a family member that I love and that I care for, they're precious to me. I want to respond. I want to treat them right. They're somebody I want to value. They're someone that God's put in my life. Now, there's other people when they call. I'm not disappointed at all that I missed their call. I didn't really want to talk to them anyway. Rather than go to a voicemail. Why is that? It's because they're not as precious to me. They want to tell me about that my car needs a warranty, or they want to sell me something. They want to tell me about my timeshare tour or my timeshare property. I keep on getting calls for Medicare, and I don't even have Medicare available to me yet. And they're like, hey, you got Medicare B or C. I says, I don't got Medicare. Are you going to let me have it? I mean, so that way I don't have to pay for health insurance. No, I mean, I don't really particularly mind when I miss those phone calls. I actually think, wow, I missed the bullet. But when I look at that phone and I see someone who I love and someone who I cherish, and I was like, man, I wish I would have had the chance to talk to them. Sometimes I'm busy and sometimes I just have to ignore it. Sometimes I can't respond. Sometimes based off what time it is on different time zones, and I can't communicate with everybody I like to. But I wonder how often we really truly get disappointed when we don't talk to God. I mean, we get upset. Man, I wish I could have talked to my son. I wish I could have talked to my wife or talked to my husband. Or, man, I would have loved to have caught up with my brother or sister. I hadn't talked to him for such a long time. We get disappointed because they're precious to us. How disappointed are you in the morning when you don't get to talk to God? Is that because he's not precious to you? How many times can we spend a day, a week, a month without having a meaningful conversation and getting into his word and truly hearing and coming to worship and coming to all those things? It's because there's something that's missing when it comes to being precious. Hey, yeah, we're good at developing relationships. I have my brother, my older brothers, I'm fairly close with. I probably two or three times throughout the week, we will text or call. We have some different common interest things, and I enjoy it. Lots of times I have to ignore the call because he works the evening shift. So sometimes he's calling during the daytime. Sometimes I'm able to make time. Many times I'm not able to. I miss it. It's because I value his relationship. I'm thankful for that. And when he's not there, I try to call him back. But God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? Do you value me that way? Can you not spend time without it even bothering you? You can ask everybody else what they think about it, but you don't value my opinion? I wonder what really truly is precious. Is God's word precious to you? Is God's relationship with you precious? If so, it's something that you're going to miss when you don't have it. It's something you're going to put as a priority. Is God's church important to you? Some of us can just be here. We're just not here. I mean, we're on the location, but we're not treating it as precious. We have a Bible, but it's not precious to us. We're not carving and fighting out time. There are times that I would be willing to stay up late. Sometimes Andrew, I love Andrew. I like to go to bed early. Andrew, different, little bit of a different time zone, and he's calling as he's getting off work from Hobby Lobby, and it's like 9:30 sometimes, and the phone's ringing, and my wife's like, yes. I'm thinking, I want to go to bed, but I stay up because he's precious to me. Plus, my wife would give me a hard time about going to bed when we get a chance to talk to Andrew. This is Andrew. I mean, so at the same time, what's precious to you? And I'm wondering if you would let God speak to your heart like he spoke to me this past week about things that are really, truly precious. And go and do a Bible study about what is precious in the Bible and what God says is precious. I threw out a few things here. I knew I said I was going to close with one thing, but I did forget about this. And take your Bibles to Jeremiah. It's only going to take a second. In Jeremiah chapter 15. I thought this was interesting. As we're studying this idea of being precious, I mentioned it, I think, in the Sunday school hour. Jeremiah chapter 15. Here in the story of Jeremiah, you would think that a preacher doesn't have anything he needs to work on and that preachers get everything right, but that's not the case. We see God growing and purging Jeremiah over and over in the accounts. You go to chapter 11, 15, 19, 20, 26, 28, 32, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 45. More places in the book of Jeremiah where God is working on the heart of Jeremiah, making sure his heart is right. And that, we all have that. It's whether or not it's precious to us. But in Jeremiah chapter 15, he's talking about a certain persecution that's going on. Look what it says in verses 19 and 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. Now look at this next phrase. This is what I find interesting. If thou shalt take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And then he begins to give a promise. I will make thee unto this people a fence brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And it sounds as if God is telling Jeremiah here in that verse, in verse 19, if thou take forth the precious from the vial. We have a lot of precious things in this world. His word, our relationships, at least the right relationship, prayer, a relationship with our church. There's a lot of things that we should count as precious. But what God is saying is if you'll take what is precious out from what is vile, you'll get those things away from the wickedness. You'll get those things away from the things that are anti-God, those things that doesn't have anything to do with God, those things that are fighting our affections, those things that are idols in our life. We get the precious things away from the vile things. He says, then you're cooking. Then you got something going on because you've learned to separate the two. So what is precious in your life? Is what is supposed to be precious to you important? I remember growing up what was precious to me. Sometimes there were relationships. I wanted so-and-so to love me so much, or I wanted this girl to like me so much, or I wanted this relationship, or I wanted this sport. And they were just things that really, none of them really ever panned out anyway. They were worthless things. But there is something that is more precious. There's something that would last. Let's not throw it away. Let's separate the precious from the vile. The trials Jeremiah would be brought to a new day of usefulness. He would be able to use by God in a way that was unusual and supernatural, as it talks about in verse number 19 and 20. But that happened when he took the precious from the vile. It's when we become tenderhearted, we become a servant of God that we want to say that this is precious. God often brings a Christian to the point where they must deal with their inconsistencies in their Christian life. You want this, you want this, you want this as a believer. You want to count these things precious. You got to say no to these things. Just like I said in Joshua this morning, choose you today who you're going to serve. You're going to have to learn to turn away from your idols. If you weren't in Sunday school class, I encourage you to listen to it. It's from taking our desires and making them into decisions that last forever. There are certain things that just say, if I truly want to say I'm serving the Lord, if I want to make God precious to me, there's things I got to say no to. And he looked at him, he says, you guys aren't even going to do this. You can't even serve God because God's not going to put up with your sin. God's not going to put up with your vile things. And he says, even the idols that are among you today, if you truly want to serve the Lord, you have to get rid of it. And that's what God's saying. If we're going to value our relationship with God, there are certain things that we say, no, I'm taking that preciousness, those things that are precious to me, and separating it from the vial. Tonight, what's truly precious to you? If it's really precious, if your relationship with God is really precious to you, and you realize that those vile things are harming it, you're going to walk away from it because you don't want anything that's going to harm what should be most precious in your life. Now, I'm not talking the most valuable monetary-wise. I'm talking about what should truly be precious to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you take these simple thoughts, these words that you laid upon my heart, and help us understand what truly is precious. Lord, we take so many things for granted. Lord, we it's hard for us because we don't want to be all the way right. We don't want to pay the price. We like this thought because our spirit is ready, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak and we struggle with certain things. Tonight, would you reveal unto us and remind us of what truly is precious in this world? Lord, that we would give our hearts to those things that are precious. And we would realize that there are certain things we have to stop doing in order to show ourselves to be precious. Lord, it is just a simple truth. when we truly consider what we put our most time, effort, and energy in.